Hello and welcome. On today's episode, we're going to talk just a little bit more about cadence and also look at a few of the pitfalls in using race time predictors. I'm Kirsten Todd, your coach here at Hooked on Running. So last episode, we talked about cadence and how the myth of 180 steps a minute was started and perpetuated. And I concluded that in most cases, you don't really need to worry about changing your cadence, which is the number of steps you take per minute. That is unless you're continually getting injured, particularly around the knees and also possibly in your high hamstring attachment. So where your hamstring attaches onto your pelvis, kind of at the bottom of your bum there. So speeding up your cadence might help with those kinds of injuries. But just keep in mind that speeding up your cadence to try to relieve the impact on your knees, those impact forces are still going to be impacting the ground. So you're still going to be getting ground impact forces somewhere through your body. So most commonly, if you increase your cadence, you're going to land your foot a little bit more underneath your hip and go to more of a mid to forefoot landing, which could put impact forces through your Achilles and calves, which we did talk about last week. Also, the forces per step for each individual step might be reduced, but because you're taking more steps, your overall load might actually increase. And then the other thing to consider if you're advised to take faster steps to try to change your form and manage injury is this. Like, say you lift your cadence from 180 steps a minute to say 200 steps per minute over a period of time, and that's not outside the bounds of possibility. Some people do have a pretty quick cadence even when they're running easy. So let's say you've done this. What happens when you want to run faster? You've either got to lift your cadence even more or take longer steps, because speed is step length times cadence. And if the reason for your increasing your cadence in the first place was to stop you from overstriding, you're going to be in all sorts of strife when you start to run fast and taking longer steps. There's like a limit to how many steps you can take per minute. I don't know what it is and it's different for everyone, but I think if you've already purposefully increased your number of steps per minute, you're less likely to be able to pick your cadence up to go faster. And so you're more likely to increase your stride length. So for treating injuries, you can't rely on increasing your cadence alone. It might be, you know, part of the picture, but you really need appropriate strength training and flexibility work as well. They're really important. The exception to not changing your cadence is if you're running uphill and also if you're running downhill. If you're running uphill as part of a run, or a race, best way to run it uphill is to take shorter strides and faster strides. Compare that to, say, running up many sets of stairs. If you start off at one step at a time, you're going to last longer than if you start bounding up there two steps at a time. So it's a similar kind of thing with running up a hill. And I have actually done an episode on uphill running prior to this, I think. But if not, I'll just put a link to an article about uphill running. And also downhill running, if you turn your feet over more quickly, you're going to be able to let the hill and gravity do some work as well. So there are exceptions to not wanting to increase your cadence. That's enough about cadence. So on to looking at using pace calculators. Now you can Google race pace calculators, you'll come up with all sorts of things. But what I really wanted to talk about now are the pace calculators, such as the Macmillan running calculator. That'll predict your race time over pretty much all distances based on your race time over one distance that you plug in. So, for example, you put in your 5K time, 25 minutes, you'll come up with a predicted time of around 52 minutes for 10K, about 1:56 the half marathon, and a couple of minutes over 4 hours for the marathon. Just a couple of things to keep in mind here. So you need to compare apples with apples. If you ran a 5K over a flat course, which didn't have too many people getting in your way, say your local park run, you managed to get up front and not get caught up in any of those bottlenecks, that's not really comparable with a big half marathon event that's got lots of people, some of whom are getting in your way, and let's say it's on an undulating course. Also, with a 5K, if you're plugging in, say, a 5K time to try to figure out what time you might do for a half marathon, you get lots of opportunities to do your best time for 5Ks. If you wake up not feeling so great, especially if you're doing park runs to give yourself an idea of your best times, you can skip it and just do it the next week. If you've had kids up vomiting all night or you've had to go into state unexpectedly, whatever, you can just defer it to the next week or the week after. Whereas, you know, you're not going to be able to do that with a big half marathon event, they're not going to move the race date for you. So unless the conditions and, you know, like the weather conditions, the terrain and how you're feeling are pretty much the same from race to race, you can't really use those previous race times to figure out what pace you should be racing for your goal race. Also, those calculators make an assumption that you're as well prepared for your goal race as you were for the race that you used as your reference time. So let's say you've been training for 5Ks for the last couple of years and then you decide to train for a half marathon. So you've got a bit of running under your belt before you try the half. You're not a beginner. But even if you have a training plan that's perfect for you, and even if you follow that training plan to the letter, you're still not going to be as well trained for that half as you would have been for your 5K race that you used as a reference. So you've been training for shorter races for a number of years, whereas you've been specifically training for that half for probably only about 4 months, maybe even less. And whilst that's enough time to be able to get enough training in to do a half marathon without wrecking yourself, because you do have some of a base of running somewhat from the previous couple of years of training for shorter races, but it's just not as much training time as you've had, or like specific training time as you've had for the 5Ks and 10Ks. So it's a bit hard to kind of really assess your chances at that half marathon because you haven't been doing half marathon specific training for as many years. And also the closer the races you're comparing are in distance, the more accurate those calculators are going to be. So if you've done, say, a 15K race and trying to get an idea of what your pace might be for a half marathon, that's going to be likely to be much closer to accurate as if you were comparing, say, a 5K race and a half marathon race. Then there's the other thing, which in my opinion has to be one of the least scientific ways of training, which is picking your training pace based on the goal time you have for a race. Now, I will have a bit of a caveat on that, in that if you're a pretty experienced runner, that might actually be a useful way to go. But let's just say you're not that experienced and you want to do, say, a sub 2 hour half marathon. You're going to find calculators and, unfortunately, coaches that'll advise you to train at a certain pace based on that goal time so that you can hit your target on race day. But it doesn't really work like that. Some random figure you pull out of the air based on not much other than a wish and a prayer is not necessarily the pace your body should be training at. So you need to be basing your training on a pace that's appropriate for you based on what you can do right now. So if you're wanting to use your half marathon race pace as a training guide, then you'd be doing a half marathon now and use that as a training guide, not what you're hoping to do for your half marathon in 3, 4, 5, 6 months time, because if you're following a decent training program, you're actually going to be able to do that half marathon a lot faster than you can do it now. If you're training at a pace that is appropriate for 6 months time, you're either selling yourself short and you're actually going to run a lot faster in 6 months time, or you're actually running at a pace that's way too fast for you and you're risking injury and burnout. So it's not the best thing really to be doing. What you need to do is to be basing your pace on how you're feeling now. So running about 80% of your mileage at what feels like an easy intensity right now. So the pace you want to do in a race is not relevant, not unless you have a good reason to be confident you can predict the pace you're likely to be able to hit. And as I said, that takes quite a lot of experience. You might, for example, know that if you want to run, say, a sub 50 minute 10K, if you can do, say, 7 1K reps at 5 minute pace with a couple of minutes in between, then you're on track to do that sub 50 minute time. And that's just something I pulled out randomly. That'll be different for everybody, but, you know, as an individual, you might know that. So you can kind of use that sort of training to test what you might do in a race. It all comes down basically to doing just what your body is capable of, stressing it up to make it repair and get stronger, but not stressing it so much so that you get injured. It's a really delicate mix of art and science and most importantly, experience.